You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show is broadcast live to Facebook. We're very pleased to be joined by our very special guest. You know her from Wrong Turn 6 and the remake of Blood Feast. We're talking to Sadie Katz. Besides Sadie's older projects, we're talking to her about Party Bus to Hell and the Bill Murray Experience. Two very cool projects. It was a good time. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. You can interact with us and the guests via the chat room. Also, head over to thedorkening.com to check out all of the other shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network. And last but not least, check out our sponsor, Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for. Pick yourself up some lifeblood. It keeps us going. It can keep you going as well. But first, enjoy the show.
And Wolfie right. is the oldest, but we have
is
Kevin.
The oldest, yeah.
Kevin
I'm
is here.
The old dog in the room. Yep.
Yeah. So anyways, let's just get into this.
Exactly.
How about that?
Wolfman is here.
Oh!
And the awesome Sadie Katz, thank you for joining
Hi.
Us.
So Sadie's known for quite a few things. There's a few newer movies that are coming out that we had the pleasure of checking out that we definitely want to talk about. But I know Wolfie's a fan of some of your past projects. Wolfie, do you want to bring some of that stuff up?
Dude, she's in a remake of one of my favorite films, and she's in one of my favorite series. And the first one is the series. It's Wrong Turn 6. I mean, that's an awesome series to be associated with. How'd you get around to? I mean, did you just audition for that? And they said, did they know who you were? And they said, we want Sadie Katz.
You know, this is like my favorite story ever because I actually was so excited because I had heard through the grapevine a couple different people. Leland, who I had done actually a Playboy series for, told me, hey, there's this part that you're going to be so right for. I'm going to recommend you. Which normally he actually wrote me a letter of recommendation for Sally. And then somebody else wrote me and said, you're right for this part of Sally, and wrote me a second letter of recommendation for Jeff over who was casting. And so I had two letters of recommendation, and I went in and I didn't know it was for Wrong Turn, but I sort of knew that the character was an incestuous cannibal. And but it was, they were so hush hush about it and made you sign a a non-disclosure form. And so I already was super stoked when I went in, and I auditioned, and Robert Lombard was my manager. And so I was kind of already, everybody was auditioning for this, and it was a big deal. Like, I knew they were shooting in Bulgaria. So by the time I went in, I went in like with guns blazing. I went and got my hair blown out like a big Southern belle. And, you know, I was pretty, you know, guns blazing that I was going to get this part. And there was like already 30 girls in the room that were all pretty dressed up, but I was bound and determined that I was going to get that part. So I was pretty stoked about it.
And people were recognizing you from this and calling, you know, this kind of helped move your career quite a bit, right?
It really did. I mean, even when I got the part and went to film it in Bulgaria, I knew something was special because my first time going out to set, there was a couple of people at like 6 a.m. with autographs waiting for me to sign it. And I knew something was kind of special. Like they were ready with like pictures of me printed off the internet. And I'm like, how the fuck do they even know who I am? But, you know, it had already been leaked that I was cast in it. So I knew that I was really fortunate and lucky, and I was, trust me, thanking my lucky stars that they cast me for it and trusted me with such a big part in the franchise. And Frank Woodworth wrote this really fucking amazing, cool character, and I got to kill someone with my vagina. How lucky is that?
Yes.
How many people can say that? You know, no matter, you know, even though you're a giant fan of Bill Murray and you have the documentary we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
He never killed anyone with his vagina.
No.
True.
No.
He tried, it didn't work.
How many female antagonists, though, are there really in the horror world that are really written that with that kind of complexity? Like, she's sexy and she's also crazy and you know, and broken and still leading. She gets pick up the torch of these from these guys. It's kind of cool. Yeah. And I end with a sex scene fucking my brother with the nub leg and a melted face. Spoiler. I mean, it was so, I read the script and I went, there's no way they're going to let me do this. It was crying tears of joy. I mean, hi, I absolutely had to play that character. It was.
Oh, yeah.
Epically amazing. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. This is, like I said, this is one of my favorite modern franchises. I think only one of the movies if I was going to rank them, I think the fifth movie would be a little bit lower than the rest. But yeah, I love this movie. And the only other person I know that killed anyone with their vagina was the chick from the movie Teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, good. You're right. That was pretty genius too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it like filming in Bulgaria?
You know what? I'm from California, so I never actually got to see seasons change. And the guys at UFO Films treated me very well. And I had a high-rise hotel that I had got to look out. And I actually got to see it change from winter to spring. And it was absolutely beautiful. And I'm so grateful for that experience. And the crew was beautiful. And the last day of shooting, when they wrapped, I burst into tears. The crew burst into tears. And I think it was maybe, I hope it's not my last magical experience, but it was really, truly the most magical experience working I've ever had. It was really something special. I'm super, super grateful for it.
Nice. So you do Wrong Turn 6, you fast forward 4 years, and you do a remake of a classic H.G. Lewis film, Blood Feast.
Yeah.
You get to play Ishtar.
I know.
I mean, this is the coolest thing ever. You go from being incestuous sister to Egyptian goddess.
I know. I'm so lucky. You know, I didn't even think it would happen because Marcel contacts me from Germany and he says, I want you to play Goddess Ishtar. And I'm like, yeah, okay, great. And he's actually him and his husband moved to LA. And so he's one of my best friends now. But they contact me through Facebook and they're like, we want you to play Goddess Ishtar. And I'm like, that's never gonna fucking happen. You don't get lucky like that twice. And I'm sort of a pessimist, so I don't believe those things. And they send me the script and I'm like, okay, great. This sounds like a great opportunity. And then like a week before, my manager works it out. Then I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting on a plane. And I jump on a plane. And I'm going to Germany and I'm going to work with Caroline Williams and Robert Ressler and Sophie Monk from The Hills Have Eyes. And I'm just like, wow, this is really amazing. And I get there and I meet Marcel and he goes to show me my wardrobe. And it's literally a long black wig and a little tiny chain that covers my hoo-ha. And I'm like, oh, I guess this is really happening. As happens. And I'll tell you, Germans are the nicest people ever. Who would have thunk? But
yeah, after all that.
I guess they decided to be nice people.
Yeah.
I just want to break in here for a second. Bunch of people watching on Facebook. I had to close out a couple of windows, so I can't keep an eye on YouTube where internet's a little spotty right now, so I wanted to close everything I could. Dave Schneider says, good evening, everybody. It's his birthday. He's 46 years old. Stephen Chang's in the house. Laura Potter, as always. Tony. I wanted to break in here for a second because we're going to play Deadly Grounds. Deadly Grounds is a sponsor of ours, and we absolutely love their coffee, but don't listen to me. Here is a zombie talking about Deadly Grounds coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I totally did.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
It's probably different than what you normally see.
Yeah, I love documentaries, no matter what. Good. As long as they're done well, I love them. Like, so that's the thing, is it's very easy to not do one well, but if it's done well, it's like, I'm sold, you know? So yeah.
It's good.
Yes.
It's kind of like, you know, getting everyone to get past the first act to be like, just hang out with me, guys. I know the first act might get a little obnoxious, but I think it's worth the payoff. Yeah. And hopefully PJ and Joel, you know, is a good payoff. Like,
I'm going to
take it seriously. I know I'm fucking around right now, but, you know, I'll learn my lesson. I promise.
Yeah. So we're back, right, Leo?
We are. And one thing we wanted to bring up, you're promoting right now Bus Party to Hell. Mm-hmm. And we have the trailer for that. Would you like to introduce it?
Oh, the best fucking trailer you'll ever see ever. Here you go. Bus Party to Hell. With Tara Reid and Sadie Katz and a lot of other people. Boom.
Boom.
On a party bus? Heading to the Burning Man Festival?
It's the snack!
Hey! Are we there?
Yes, they're here. We're surrounded. They're listening. They hear everything we're saying. You're his darkest fears.
Everybody, I'm just making a quick pit stop.
It's making you
crazy? I'll show you crazy.
It's gonna be the night of your life. This is all my fault.
But I'm not the leader. I'm just a servant to the chosen one.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Alyssa Dowling.
Okay. I'll make a note of it.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like, she's one of the people that whenever I see that she has a live thing on Instagram, I'm like, all right, I'm checking it out. I'm like, yeah. I don't know why. I watch them all.
Have you seen her Twitter? She's funnier than anything.
Oh, I'm going to find her on Twitter now, too.
Oh, wait. You're going to be so addicted. You'll see another side of her that's super funny. So you'll be like, she's the cool hot chick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I already think she's the cool hot chick. We're talking, because we're back. So we're talking You're about back. Alyssa Dowling, and like I'm a big fan of hers.
Which is her co-star in Best Party to Hell.
Exactly. Yeah. And she was she's been a bunch of things. But yeah, so
she's
Best Party
with me. She's in Automation with me. She's like, I always think she's like the cool, tough chick in high school that like she lets me sit at her table sometimes.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. Because she's even posted things on her Instagram where it's her like when she was younger. And I'm like, yeah, she was definitely the cool girl that I would be like, she's cool. She'll never even acknowledge that I'm in the room, but she's cool. But she would though.
She's
I know that.
Nice
I'm just saying.
Like that.
I'm just saying. But she's you know if where I'm getting at is
that's
she's
all
like
works in
the, yeah in my head. I got
problems. She's like the girl who like had I would be the girl who like went to the pep rally and wanted to stay. And then she like put off the stink bomb and we all got to go out. And I would be like secretly wanting to be at the pep rally because I'm a fucking dork. And I like pep rallies.
All right.
And she'd be like, okay. Sadie, let's go. Yeah, she's amazing. Okay. I love her.
Yeah. Well, we'll get her on eventually. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. She'll kill
me. Yeah. So, Party Bus to Hell. We all check it out.
Party to Hell. Yeah. Comes out theaters and VOD in April.
Yes. April 20th, 420. Imagine that. I think they're doing like 11 o'clock showing. And then we'll see. It's coming out through Gravitas Ventures. And it was originally called Party Bus to Hell, but because of the Skrull is like this new thing. It's like the Skrull. They named it Bus Party to Hell. I liked Party Bus to Hell, but
yeah, on IMDb it's still listed as Party Bus to Hell. That's why
I know. I hope it doesn't bite us in the ass, but I think people can figure it out.
I hopefully can figure it out.
This is my favorite indie horror film of the year so far.
You get a kiss for that. I think so too. It's really funny, right?
It is. It's funny.
It's funny, but the guys have heard the story before, but there's only been one. I've been a horror fan since I was five. There's only been one horror movie that ever scared the hell out of me when I was a kid, and that is Race with the Devil. I saw it at the drive-in in 1975 when it came out. It scared the hell out of me because I lived next to the woods and there were rumors about a cult living out there and whatnot. So it freaked me out.
Uh-huh.
This movie has got a bunch of nods to that. Laura, the virgin is named Laura. Her last name is Swit. Both named after the actresses Laura Parker and Loretta Swit, who are in Race with the Devil. You got Peter Oates, named after Peter Fonda and Warren Oates. You got Warren Fonda, named after Peter Fonda and Warren Oates. One of the guys' last names is Armstrong. R.G. Armstrong was the director of Race with the Devil. I love that movie. I love the feeling of this movie. They're just in the desert. They're going nowhere. I got this real super creepy vibe when they get stopped by the cult. There's nothing I can't say. I'm just gushing. I'm sorry, Kev.
Don't be sorry.
No, Rolf Kaminski, that was his. So Rolf and the Mahals, they were like wink, wink, nodding. Exactly. So you're kind of like, I mean, it was made for exactly. You guys are like the target bing, bing, bing audience for people. This was supposed to be a complete, nod to the midnight movies,
drive-in films. Yeah,
it's exactly what it is. So, I mean, when I saw it at the cast and crew screening, I'm like, this is exactly what the movie's supposed to be. And I sort of thought it was critic proof because I'm like, what else do you fucking want? It's blood, boobs, babes. Like,
Roger Corman.
Really good too. Yeah, the story's like, it's really good. And like, just when you think it's going to be over, it's not. Like,
there's
a few times I'm like, all right, I think they're going to be wrapping it up. And I look and I'm like, wait, there's still like another like 35 minutes of this movie.
And then
I'm just like, but then I'm like, all right, so how are they going to do this? And it just keeps getting like cooler and cooler. So, I mean, I agree. I really enjoyed it.
I love the script. I loved my character when I read it. I was originally supposed to, like, they had sent me the cameo and I didn't really think that the cameo was good for me because there's some people who love Wrong Turn and I'm like, not enough people are going to, it's Tara Reid's perfect for that cameo. That's right on perfect. But I love Joan the Bus Driver and I was kind of obsessed with her and I had to play her. Like, I called my manager up and I was like, I have to be Joan. Like, I have to be her. So I just had so much fun playing her. And like, I was supposed to put my clothes back on, but it didn't make any sense. And I was like, fuck it. And Michael Sue is the DP. And I was like, as long as I look good, I don't care. I'm going to do it. And I just had so much fun. And Rick Tripp did the tattoos and they were kind of a hassle to do of like matching them up and you know, it worked out. And it was just so much fun to do that film. And I just thought it'd be, I'm so glad that you guys picked up on it. Yeah. Like very savvy horror fans that you are. So that's so cool.
But the one thing, like you talk about like tattoos matching up and like there's few things in the movie that may not be perfect.
Right. Agreed.
But I think that adds to the charm of the movie. Like I think that makes the movie even cooler. Like some of the masks,
that adds
like,
to that 1970s drive-in feel.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Sure. I mean, it's obviously, you know, like you could tell this is not a $10 million budget movie. Right. You could tell like, okay, there's some things they had to do. But that's part of the fun of it.
Right.
It's definitely like a Roger Corman type, you know. I think Monster looks rad as fuck.
Oh
though.
Yeah,
like
yeah. You can tell like they put like it's like they put a ton of money into that monster, and I'm like, all right, they put the money in the right spot, like
yeah,
for sure.
You know,
that monster is awesome.
Yeah. We had a problem. I won't give away the actors. It's like I won't give away what happened, but we lost a day. And the problem was we absolutely had to come back and shoot it because they put so much money into that monster and like setting her face into it and like the teeth mold and the face mold. And we had to use it. I'm telling you, like we're talking $20,000 in just the face plant. And that's when you're talking about real, they actually cared about that looking great on her face. And she, Stefani Blake, this is her breakout. She was covered naked with that, you know, full body suit on. And then that face piece in blood doing a sex scene, and she brought it. And then, you know, that's tough to do, you know, especially when you don't have experience doing that. And it's, she did a really good job and everyone was really blown away by that. And,
yeah.
You know,
so I agree.
Half the cast had a lot of experience and half of them were like local hires in Vegas. And you know, Rolf did a really nice job of also editing that. So at least we got in scenes and got out of scenes and kept that shit going, which, you know, is nice.
Yeah. It seemed like a really fun, I mean, I'm sure it looked like it was a fun time. I don't know if it really was, but it looked like a really fun time.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's funny when you have an ensemble film like that, that means you have 5 close-ups before your close-up, you know? So it was fun, but it was also serious work of like going through long hours, but we had a ball. I mean, I'm still friends with everybody. It was just, we're in that bus, like all just sweating on each other and jumping on each other and just loving everybody. And Rolf knows what he's doing. He really does. I mean, he stages it like a stage play. If you notice, everyone's in triangles. And I think there's something really magical about a director who knows how to actually stage a scene on ensembles. He's doing like a nod to those 80s. You know, old horror setups, which I love.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, I mean, you say that there's going to be 5 other close-ups before yours, but you're Joan the driver. I mean, anytime they want to just fill some space, but they want a close-up of you, they just need to show you driving the vehicle, which to me, what was that vehicle like? I'm guessing you got all these people out there. It's the middle of the desert.
I'm going to give you a big kiss. They wouldn't let me drive that car. It's movie magic. I love you. I never got to drive that damn vehicle. They wouldn't let, you know what? They just, that's all movie magic.
Okay. So it's on a trailer.
It was ripe though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was ripe either way. You're in the desert. So, but yeah, I mean, we really enjoyed it. So we definitely recommend that you check it out when it comes out. On 420. It comes on a VOD as well, Leo.
Yep.
I think it actually comes out. It's like will be a mix of 420, and I think April 13th we'll do a little pre screening work. You know what? I take that back. I did get to drive it a little bit. I did drive it in the parking lot a little bit. So there you go.
Okay.
There you go. You get a little, yeah.
I would have been terrified.
I don't want to burst your bubble a little bit. I feel like I just killed your kitten.
You stepped right on my cat's head, didn't you?
Oh,
that precious cat.
A bunch of people in the chat room. If you have questions for Sadie, just post them. I'm keeping an eye on Facebook. We had an issue with YouTube. Stephen Chang says Sadie needs to hit Texas Frightmare a weekend one day. Billy Baird says I enjoyed Sadie in the Night Shift movie. Sadie is a blast. Max Wesa is in the house.
Oh, hi, Max. And hi, Stephen. Hi, honey.
Brent Castro says, wow, looks like it's going to be a fun movie, talking about Bus Party to Hell, which comes out limited theater release and VOD. So if you don't have a chance to see it at the theater, you can definitely pick it out on VOD.
Yeah, we highly recommend it. It's a really good time. It's a really, really good time. Yeah. Like, for like I was saying, some of the stuff, it's like, all right, you know, they cut the, as soon as you see that monster, it's just like, oof, I waited, and it was a good payoff.
Yeah, oh, good.
Yeah, it was good.
And the cool thing is that it's not another person in the monster suit. It's her.
It really is. I know. That's a great point.
You know, I mean, they could get someone else to say, oh yeah, okay, boom, get another body, another person with the same body type, and just throw it. But it's something else to have that same person. It just adds to the magic.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think about that. It's so true. There's something cool about that, and she's. Yeah, she moves her body. It's sexy in it too. You know, it's nice.
Max,
and
Wesa,
you know, definitely watch the credits and stuff too, because the little blooper at the end, hating dummies, I thought was great.
That was authentic too.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
Max is high beautiful, and Tony wanted to know how was cage fighting. And before he answered that, I just wanted to say, Max, I didn't forget about you. You got a shirt on the way. I had to get the design reapproved by Amazon, which they just approved. And Max wants to ask Sadie about her super talented son.
Oh, I want one of those.
Jesus, we're gonna go through. I'm just kidding. Yeah,
Max is a super beauty.
Yeah, we've had her on a couple times. She's great.
Yeah, she's a hottie patati right there.
Yep.
Yeah. Tony was asking, how was cage fighting?
What was it?
Tony was asking, how was cage fighting? And Max wanted to know about your super talented son.
Oh, you're so sweet. Like my 16-year-old, who is super talented, who was sick today, actually. And he's doing very well and doing his art, and he's a singer and a guitar player and making me crazy, as most 16-year-olds do.
Yeah, that's what 16-year-olds do, yeah.
Yeah.
Making crazy.
And what's the cage fighting? How is cage fighting?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's something to do with the movie.
Chavez Cage of Glory? Is that what they're asking about?
Tony, elaborate, please.
Mr. Nine Fingers.
Just kidding. Yeah. So I don't know if you want to go into your documentary as well.
Oh, the Bill Murray Experience.
Yes.
So my documentary, which is already released across all platforms, is coming out on April 13th on DVD and Blu-ray. And it's about my quest to meet Bill Murray and to have a magical chance encounter with Bill Murray. And I would love for anyone to support it and check it out. The trailer is up if you Google the Bill Murray Experience trailer. And it's on Amazon, iTunes, across all platforms, VOD, and cable, if you just look it up under the Bill Murray Experience.
Yeah, and actually... Go ahead, Wolfie.
On the count of three, everyone talk. One, two...
Well, tell you what, Wolfie, save your question. I'm going to play the trailer right now for the Bill Murray Experience. We absolutely love this. But here we go, minute 30, and then when we come back, we'll come back to Wolfie.
Bill Murray's career path is unlike any other actor of his generation. It has taken him from the revolutionary comedy of Saturday Night Live to the sadness of Lost in Translation.
So what the heck is a Bill Murray Experience? Well, I don't know. It takes on a different form every time.
I had a simple quest to have a Bill Murray Experience.
I'm sure you wonder what kind of a good idea this is.
Bill or Bahas?
I think it's another harebrained idea from Sadie.
I am drinking too much and partying too much, and I'm under the Bill Murray fever like you've never seen before.
This should be easy to drive with, right?
I want to feel all to myself.
Bill would call me regularly every morning at 3 a.m. and say, please come to my room.
It's like I'm going to prom and I forgot to buy a prom dress.
I lost my friends. I lost my boyfriend. I lost my home.
Trying to get a Bill Murray experience is a Bill Murray experience.
Give me Bill Murray!
I'm just kidding. I'm not
them. Wolfie.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is I haven't had a chance to check out the Bill Murray Experience, but it sounds a lot like a documentary I watched a few years ago called My Date with Drew.
Yep, by Brian Hersling. God, you are so damn good. I was actually a little bit inspired by that, or I should say a lot of it. And I had lunch with Brian Hersling right when I sort of started working on it. I had lunch with them and I said, hey, I want to let you know I'm doing this. And I was inspired by your doc. And I, you know, picked his brain a little bit. I think he might have been a little offended, but I was like, you know, this is sort of my idea. What's the phrase?
Imitation is the
something of imitation. Whatever.
Yeah.
Something
the greatest. Fucking great.
Yeah.
So I did go and have lunch with him, and he was gracious about it. I think he thought she doesn't know how difficult it is, and she'll never finish it. And then I heard through the grapevine that he heard that I finished it and was pretty impressed. He said, "Oh, she finished that. I saw it, and we're friends on Facebook." I need a t-shirt that says we're friends on Facebook. we're friends on Facebook. So, he was pretty gracious about it, or tolerant of having coffee with me. So, yeah, here was the whole thing. I had heard that he made $1 million on it. So when I first started with my doc, it was maybe a little bit grounded in the fact that I thought I could make $1 off of it. And so I didn't take it as seriously. And then Bill Murray sucked me in. And I think what started off as maybe like a silly, fun thing of like, oh, I'll make money, became a big passion and kind of a crazy obsession and a mad project where I really fell in love with the idea of a fascination of how great it would be to meet. Look, I'm getting more and more crazy. Like, the camera's going crazy. How great. I'm like, And I mean, it really did become where I was like, I needed to meet Bill Murray in like this crazy way. You know, I mean, I definitely was like this little girl who was obsessed with Santa Claus more than anyone should have been. And Bill Murray became my Santa Claus and my like reason for living, as embarrassing as that is. But I mean, with any passion project, the more you don't get it, the more you want it. And that's what the doc became for me. And it made me nutty. Let's just put it that way. I mean, I was going to ask.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of documentaries, and I mean, there's documentaries that, like, if they're done well, I'll watch a documentary on something that I have no knowledge on. I've never even thought about it before. And if it's done well, I'm sucked in, you know. It's like watching the History Channel. There's things I never cared about that I'm like, this is just done so well. Yeah. Like, I can't stop watching it. Like, we saw one up in Buffalo that was about like, it's like people that paint quilting squares on the side of barns.
Yeah.
I've never cared about that. It is an amazing documentary. Like, it is
That's
really
how
good.
I am. Yeah. See, that was the whole thing. I kept trying to sell people this and they kept going, well, why do you care? And I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just my pursuit and I care. And that's what was making me nuts when I was doing the documentary, is I couldn't get anyone on my team. And so it became more like I started to get more and more manic about the whole thing. And part of it was just feeling wounded and feeling more and more vulnerable of everyone just being against me. And I was like, why the fuck do you got to be so against me? Why not be for me? And and then that just kind of snowballed into also seeing signs and things. Have you ever seen the movie Brian Who Lives at Home where he sees signs and everything, which is to me a brilliant movie. I started to see like Bill Murray in everything. So it kept making me feel like I had to meet Bill, because that was a quest for me, that I was supposed to meet Bill Murray. And then I couldn't tell if I was going crazy or if like I really was supposed to meet Bill Murray. And
Yeah, but it's like it's perfect though. Like as far as like he seems like the coolest guy in the world, and everyone has these, not everyone, but a lot of people have like some awesome experiences, and it's like it totally makes sense. Like I'm a huge Bill Murray fan. I don't know about you guys. I'm assuming you guys are too. Yep. Yeah. I mean,
is anyone not? Is he the only?
I don't know if there's got to be people that out there that just don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever met one, to be honest.
I've never met someone who wasn't. Like, you can meet someone who's impartial to, like, someone who goes, oh, Brad Pitt's okay. But no one says that about Bill Murray. It's so weird.
Yeah. It's like me not being a Robin Williams fan. Like, I'm not a Robin Williams fan.
What?
No,
don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of his comedy. I'm a fan of his dramatic work.
Oh, okay. But see, that's different. That's okay. I don't mind. Maybe because you see the sadness in him and you don't buy the comedy.
Yeah, maybe. It's too much, hey, look at me, like all of it, you know? But his dramatic work is phenomenal. But
well, maybe that's astute of you. Like you just know something. Maybe. I can't even talk about Robin Williams, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, the Bill Murray experience I loved it. Yeah, yeah. What?
Talking about the Bill Murray experience, you were saying that it didn't happen to you, but there's a Bill Murray experience you want to share. Right.
And I just think it's interesting, and it's a little different than some of the other ones I've heard. So a friend of mine was working at a local movie theater. It's a movie theater that I frequent. It's a larger movie theater in central Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And there's a lounge area of this movie theater. And there was this guy who came in and just stayed in the lounge, and he fell asleep on the couch, and he was there for a long time, and they went over to wake him up. Like people were walking by, like whatever. They woke him up, and it was Bill Murray. And
of course it was.
Yeah, but apparently his niece or someone in his family was going to college in Worcester, at Clark University or WPI or whatever, and he was waiting for her to show up because they were going to go to the movies together. Uh-huh. And he showed up way too early and just like decided to take a nap on the couch at this place. But so they were like showing the video to everybody like within the company, because it was on security camera and everything. But there's like some random guy asleep on the couch, and you wake him up and it's Bill Murray.
See, the truth is I just want to be Bill Murray. Like that was one of the things I realized is in retrospect, like that's something that I would do, but Bill Murray gets to get away with it. And like that, he's like someone that people go, isn't that cool? And if anybody else did it, they'd be like, that guy's an asshole. Call the police.
Yeah, if I fell asleep on a couch in public, they would just have me escorted out of the building.
Yeah, they just wake up.
That makes him cool. Actually, he's just like drunk in public and passing out.
Probably,
which is my dream. that's all I really want to do with my life. And then they give him acting jobs, and he doesn't have to have a phone or pick up anything. It's perfect.
Yeah. So how long did it take you to actually do the documentary? Like, how long did you spend making it?
A little bit over a year, and then I was in post for a year, you know, and then you have to sell it, and then you have to do deliverables, and you have to do, you know, then you have to do a film festival. So I'm going on 4 years, which is the equivalent of a film, basically a film degree. So I learned a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things I would have done differently, and there's a lot of things the overall mood and tone of the film is sort of what my heart wanted. And I learned a lot, and you know, I lost some stuff in it, which is actually really true. You know, I mean, my heart is really invested in the release of the film. I could tear up about it. There's times where I'm like, I can't believe I'm still talking about Bill Murray, but
well, you did
I'm
an
crossing
amazing
my
job
fingers it does well. I absolutely am on my hands and knees hoping that people, well, maybe not my hands, but my knees. I'm really hoping that people like watch the film, and if they like it, share with people about it. It's being released through Gravitas Ventures, but it's not really showing up on the scroll. fuck you, gravitas. But, you know, people have to enter it in to the scroll. You know, there's different tiers of releases. So I'm being my own loudest promoter of it. And which is great, which is, you know, I'm supporting your own project.
So we have a couple comments. Keith Kramer says, awesome documentary, Sadie.
Thank you, Keith. Thanks, honey.
He loved watching the Bill Murray Experience. Stephen Chang wants to know if there's a Wrong Turn 7, will Sadie return as Sally? And Max says...
I sure hope so. Please tell him to write 20th Century Fox.
And Max says, oh, Kevin, you just don't get the brilliance of Robin.
No, I get the brilliance of Robin as in a as a dramatic
as an
actor. Yeah. But I just, I mean, I always thought that his comedic stuff was over the top and just kind of, I don't know.
See, I was a fan since Popeye. I'm one of
I thought Popeye was horrible. So
I loved Popeye.
Even when I was a kid. No, I mean, whatever. Everyone has different opinions. Yeah. I respect the people that love him. I respect it completely. I understand completely. He just didn't do it for me. But when, you know, Fisher King, Dead Poets Society, One Hour Photo, like, was amazing.
Yep.
They were amazing.
What about, I think What Dreams May Come is, like, one of the best movies I've ever seen.
I haven't seen it, so I will check it out.
Oh, my God.
I'll check it out.
I can't even watch it without almost throwing up. His wife, he goes back into hell to bring his wife back from the dead after she kills herself because his two kids die and he dies, and it's amazing. And he goes through the levels of hell, and it is fucking amazing. Great.
It's a strange movie, but she's right. It's an amazing movie. That's really bizarre.
Check it out. And don't get me wrong. I've tried. It's not like I just dismiss him completely. I've attempted over the years, but I just personally find more of a connection with his dramatic stuff than his comedic stuff.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's just me. Right. So yeah, I'll check that out. Definitely.
Sadie, so the movie comes out, boom, it explodes, boom, everyone knows, you know, your whole idea behind it and everything. You have your Bill Murray Experience. Do you film that and put out like the little sequel, or do we get to know? I mean, after investing all that?
Of course, sure. I mean, or maybe not. Maybe I say no one will ever believe me.
Yeah,
which would be kind of magical.
Wolfie hasn't seen it, so that's an ongoing thing that
you'd have to see the end, which would be you have to watch a film and you'd see him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. There was definitely some close calls there, but you know, very good poignant stuff at the end. But you know, being a big fan of Bill Murray, like when you get to meet like his brother Joel, right?
Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked him, is he aware of this? And he says, yes.
Yeah.
Like, what was, like, I can't imagine, like, not being like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like the second that he said that, I would have just lost my shit right there.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. But then it was like, it kept pushing me, like, game on, game on, game on. So, I mean, there's part of you that's like, oh, boy, now I have to keep going. So,
yeah.
I probably would have been freaking out meeting Joel Murray because I've been a fan of his ever since the mid-80s, you know?
You know, I'm a big fan of God Bless America. So, and he was really good. Cool. Oh, Joel and I,
love
Joel
that
and
movie.
I became friends because of the documentary and had lots of beers together. And he came out and saw the screening of the movie and came to Palm Springs for the premiere with his wife. And he's a lovely man. I love him.
That was one thing in the movie that I was kind of like, oh, come on. Because you, like Brian Doyle Murray, and you were like, was he like a politician or something? I'm like, oh, how do you not know Brian Doyle Murray? Like, because he was on SNL as well.
I know.
After the fact, you probably
realize sometimes I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Is he older than Bill? I think Brian is older.
Yeah, he's the older brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Bill's sort of the baby.
Is he really?
I don't know if he's the baby, but he's down there.
Yeah.
I thought Joel was younger than him.
Huh. Yeah,
Joel's the youngest, but yeah.
At the end of the day, the documentary is fantastic.
Thank you.
If you're a fan of documentaries, even you know, if you're a fan of documentaries, if you're a fan of Bill Murray, you should check it out. Definitely.
Yeah. And there's some fun animation in it. And there's some really fun music in it. It's, you know, it's worth the price of admission at least.
Oh, totally. And there's like touching moments and stuff too. Like there's times where you feel a little choked up.
Yeah.
It's coming from a guy. You know, I feel like I'm choked up.
Yay. Yeah. Thanks. Good. Thanks, congrats, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else in the works as far as so this is, you directed this and you, you know, writer, you know, you've written other stuff as well, but do you have any things in the works that you're directing?
No, I hope this does well. I have a film that I would like to, a documentary I really would like to do, but let's see if this does okay first before I jump into another baby. You know, and I'm working on a couple writing projects, and I've got a couple films. Automation will come out, and State of Desolation, and a couple other things will come out, and, you know, trucking along.
Max awesome. Wants you to tell us about shooting in Colombia.
Oh, don't do it.
Mental note, don't shoot in Colombia. All right, I'll never do it. Thank you.
Tell up. Max I'm going to beat her up. I love
her. So tell just Max don't do
come
it.
Come out and have some drinks with me. Okay.
So just don't
I
do
love
it.
You guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course.
I really I appreciate it so much. Well, you guys are the best.
Thank you for joining us. What we're going to do is we're going to close out on the Bill Murray Experience trailer one more time. Definitely look for it out on VOD. And with that, we'll catch you guys later.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And The Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.